The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Host of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good, and Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm so glad that you are with us tonight. A shout out all around the world to all of our faithful listeners on RealityRadio101.com, as well as all of our friends on Facebook. We're going to have a great show tonight. I am excited, and I am so glad to be with you. Praise God. I'm glad to be alive, Gary. You know, a lot of people didn't make it to 2023.
That's right.
And a lot of people didn't make it to April 23rd.
That's right.
We're still here, and we have a purpose and a plan for our lives, and God has that plan and has that purpose. And we're going to talk about that tonight because, you know, Gary, even though it's God's will, it doesn't happen automatically.
Yes.
And a lot of people think, you know, I mean, I'm sure there was a time in your life when you thought, well, if it's God's will, then it's going to happen.
Yes, of course.
I think all of us did, because we think that, you know, that somehow the plan of God being, quote unquote, predestinated is something that happens automatically. But God's plan is not automatic. It requires faith. It requires fellowship with Him. It requires prayer, which is how we hear from God. And hearing from God is how we receive faith. So we're going to talk about all that stuff tonight, because I really believe that sometimes we get stuck in a place where we're waiting for something to happen. But in that place of thinking that we're waiting, God's actually waiting on us. And so I want to talk about that tonight in the name of Jesus. I'd love for you to get on board tonight. You can email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. And you can check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. That's spiritoffaithradio.com. Again, if you would like to get on board tonight, if you have a praise report, if you have a Bible question, a testimony, if you want to get on live with me, simply email instudio101@gmail.com. If you do want to talk with me, you can simply put in the subject Zoom, and our wonderful producer Gary will send you back a link, and he'll get you live with us. Praise God. Other than that, we're going to get into the Word tonight, but before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you today for your loving kindnesses, your tender mercies. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. And Lord, we recognize that every promise in Christ is yes, and every promise is amen. These belong to us. Everything your word tells us belongs to us, whether it's Peter, Apollos, whether it's things present or things to come. You have made all things available to us through your kingdom, and we're so thankful and grateful. So we ask you tonight to grant unto each one of us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that our eyes would be open, our heart would be open, that we would perceive and see and understand and able to receive the riches of your kingdom. And so we thank you for this now. Take us in the direction you would have us to go. We covenant with you to give you and you alone all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go to our foundation text, which is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. And 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak." So when we believe, Gary, and we speak, how would you explain to people, what are we speaking?
We're speaking the
word.
We
believe and therefore we speak.
We believe in the word and faith. And
right, exactly. So when he says we believe, it's the Greek word pistis, which means confidence and assurance. Now, you probably remember Romans 10:17 tells us where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing.
Hearing. And
that's right. And hearing by the word of God. So he said, we believe and therefore we speak. So man believes unto salvation from the heart. He said, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, this is Romans 10:10, I believe, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. In other words, unto manifestation of the promise. So if we believe in our heart and we speak with our mouth, what are we essentially speaking?
The word,
if faith comes by hearing,
the word of God,
right? Which is one and the same. I mean, you really could say it at that level. It faith is the word, because faith comes by hearing. When you hear from God, that word that you heard from God, the light bulb went off, the light shined on, and all of a sudden you had this aha moment, like, whoa, I see that now. The moment you see it is when faith is birthed in your heart. And, you know, I think this happens a lot more often than people realize, and they just take it for granted, and they don't really grab a hold of it, because God is revealing something. And when God reveals something, that's what is producing faith. Faith is hearing from God. When you hear from God, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, that word is God speaking to you. Now, when someone talks to you, what do we call that?
When someone talks to me?
Yeah, don't get deep on me. What do we call that in the English language?
Conversation.
If someone's talking to you. Conversation.
Yeah.
They're speaking to you. So let's take a look. Go with me, everybody, over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's see if I can put this up on the screen for our wonderful Facebook friends. Let's say hello to those on Facebook real quick. If you haven't given me a like or a share, if you don't mind, it would be amazing if you could take a second and give me a like and give me a share over there on Facebook. I'm trying to get back to Spirit of Faith Radio. There it is. Praise the Lord. There I am. Hallelujah. Let's give a shout out to my dear friend, Sister Wendy and Susanna, Joan, Denise, Ron, Susan, Andrew, Gilda, Garfield, Joan, Dulari, Sister Avenel, I love you. Thank you for sending me those baked goods from Toronto. Can you believe it? Someone sent me bread and pastries and all kinds of my favorite stuff from Toronto last week. What a blessing. Pastor Cheryl just celebrated her birthday on what is today?
Today's the 23rd.
Sunday. Yesterday. Yesterday was her birthday. Praise God. Happy birthday. We celebrated it on Friday. Yeah. Big shout out to my beautiful redheaded wife, whom I love with all my heart. My mom, Judy, Compton, Thelma, and let's see. Yep. So love to have you share and like on there so more people can jump on. And let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through. Let's just read verse 1 for the moment. He says, I exhort, therefore. Now, the word exhort is also translated to beg, to desire, to entreat, to it means to bid someone to come closer. And it's a very strong word. So he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, now the word first here is the Greek word proton, which means in numerical order. So the first thing to do, first of all, supplications. Supplications is an earnest, heartfelt request for another person. It could be for yourself, but typically supplications is referring to praying for other believers. So you know there's a need either by the Spirit or in the natural, and you're taking those prayers to God to pray in an earnest, heartfelt request for that person. Now, when we pray, you know, most of my listeners know this, but some might not, and we may have some new listeners. When we pray for someone, you always want to pray according to the will of God. Well, the will of God, let me ask you this question, Gary. Is the will of God variant based on the person, or is the will of God constant toward all?
Constant towards all?
100%. And where do you find the will of God?
From the Word.
So the will of God is synonymous with the Word of God. There's no difference. The Word of God is the will of God. And, you know, depending on your circles, you know, my circles the last 30 years this year, are charismatic circles. And sometimes us charismatics can get a little flaky in that we're looking for a feeling, we're looking for a confirmation. I think sometimes we even can think that God fluctuates, but he doesn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And the thing about God is that God is not in our time frame. Our time frame is in him. He holds everything. He holds the earth. He holds the universe in the palm of his hand. So he's not on the inside looking out. Where are we, Gary? Are we on the outside or are we on the inside?
I think
I would describe it that we're on the inside looking out.
Okay.
Now there's times where God will give us insight so that we can get his perspective and see what he sees. But for the most part, we're in this bubble. We're on this earth. We're in this place where we reside. And you know as well as I do, Gary, that right now, spiritually speaking, the earth is very dark.
Yes.
And the only light that we have is the Word of God. And so our advantage is when the Holy Spirit reveals things to us, but we're on the inside looking out. God is not on the inside. God is on the outside. He sees everything. There is nothing that God doesn't see. Here's kind of a natural example. When you've got a cruise ship and you've got the captain of the cruise ship, and then you've got all the different directors, you've got the entertainment director, you've got the boiler room operator, you've got the engine room operator, you've got the kitchen staff, you've got all these people. What advantage does the captain have, Gary?
He's the boss of all of them.
Right. And he knows everything going on the ship. So he has an understanding or reports that are coming from all the different parts of the ship. Well, if he has to make a decision, he's got to consider all the different things going on. But let's say you take the baker. He's in charge of all the baked goods. Do you want the baker to come up to the bridge and direct which way the ship goes?
No.
Because the baker only sees one part.
Yeah.
And here we are all members of the body of Christ. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that we see in part. So we only see certain things. God sees everything. That's why one of the greatest opportunities we have is to spend time fellowshipping with the captain of our salvation. When you are spending time talking with the captain, talking with the boss, with the Father, and then Jesus is the captain of our salvation. When we're talking to these people, they're God, but they're people. We're talking to these amazing persons. That God is a person. Jesus is a person. He was a man, and he's God. And when we're spending time talking with them, they have the perspective of seeing everything inside. They see the big picture. They see everything that the baker's doing, the boiler operator's doing, the engine operator. He sees everything. But even though he sees everything, in order to get some of his information, what do we have to do, Gary?
We have to ask for it.
And we need to spend time talking to him.
Because
if we'll talk to him, he said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will show us things to come. But if we don't spend time fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, then we're not going to hear what he has to say. A lot of times, you know, we presume a lot of things as Christians, and we presume that if it's God's will, it's going to happen automatically. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible does not teach that. Just because it's God's will does not mean that it's going to automatically happen. So we're in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, this is the order now, supplicate, pray for the saints, pray for believers. Now, the next word here is the word prayers. Prayers is the Greek word prosuke here. In one other place, it's prosukomai, but here it's prosuke. Now, pros is the prefix in Greek that means face-to-face. My friend Chris Palmer is probably listening. You can call me, man. Call me right now and correct me. Share your Greek with us. We want to hear from Chris Palmer. Praise God. Don't you love Chris, Gary?
He's great, yes.
We love Chris. We haven't had him on in a while. So pros means face-to-face. And then this Greek word suke, and I'm sure he needs to correct me on that. It means it means to will, to wish, to pray for. I think you could also say to desire. And so when you put them together, face to face, and then praying or asking, wishing, desiring, you're now going to God face to face. In Hebrews chapter 4, I believe it's verse 12, he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So grace is the benevolence of God. Grace is the promise of God. And grace is something that is freely given. It's nothing you can earn. It's nothing you can deserve. It's what God desires and wants us to have, but it is only received by faith. Ephesians 2:8, I'm not going to quote it. I'm going to turn there. We're going to come back here to 1 Timothy, Ephesians 2:8. And it says, For by grace are you saved through faith. In other words, the conduit by which we receive the grace is faith. Faith is how you receive. Now, put that together with Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. The word there is rhema. Now, if you and I are talking with each other, Gary, and rhema is spoken word and logos is written word, then using these two terms, Greek words rather, what word would describe us talking together? Rhema or logos?
Is logos listening?
Nope, logos is the written word.
Okay, so I'm not sure.
So the other one would be rhema. You had a 50-50 check there.
Yeah, I didn't know, though, which one.
So the written word, like if I open up my Bible, the letters that are written on the pages is logos.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, that describes who Jesus is. In the John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word, or logos. The word was with God, logos. The word was God. And all things were made by him, talking about the word who is Jesus. Verse 14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus, the logos, the written word of God. But if you and I are talking, is that letters or is that voice?
Voice.
So is that logos or is that rhema?
Logos. No, rhema, no, rhema, 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 rhema.
Exactly, right. Rhema. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So hearing and word, which word in the Greek do you think that is? Romans 10:17, logos or rhema? Hearing.
Logos.
Gary's multitasking.
I am. I'm so sorry.
So logos is written word.
Okay, so it'd be rhemas.
Rhema is spoken word, right? Yeah. R-H-E-M-A, rhema. Rhema is spoken word, and faith comes by hearing. So if you and I are in a conversation, in order for me to know what we're talking about or what you're saying, I got to hear you.
Yeah, that's right.
And when we're having a conversation with God and I hear God, the words that he is speaking, the highlights, the enlightenment, the light bulb going off, the quickening to my spirit, the aha moment, the, oh, wow, I see that moment. That is God speaking to your spirit. Is this making sense?
It is making sense from what I can
hear. You're not going to hear, most people will never hear an audible voice from God. And if they do, it's going to be within a vision, a trance, a spiritual vision, but it's not going to be with these paddles on the side of your head. Now, why is it that you're not going to hear with these paddles on the side of your head? Because God is a spirit. If a spirit is speaking, can you hear a spirit? Now, there's good spirits and bad spirits, right, Gary?
Yes.
Demons are spirits.
Yes.
Angels are spirits.
Yes.
I'm going to throw a trick one out now. Is a dog a spirit?
No.
No, they have a soul, but not a spirit.
That's right.
At least as far as we can see in Scripture. At least as far as I know. Maybe somebody knows a different verse. I'm not pretending to know it all in any way, shape, or form. But a spirit to speak would have to speak to what?
To our
spirit?
not our ears, but
not
our,
these paddles on the side of your head, because that's your flesh, that's your body. But a spirit would speak to your spirit or your soul. So these thoughts that come to your head, a lot of time these thoughts that come to your head, they're not coming to your spirit, they're coming to your soul. They're in the thought realm. We find in Ephesians, the second chapter, let's pop over there. Oh, we're already here. Back up real quick to verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. The word world here is cosmos, which means the system of this world. Is the system of this world governed by God or governed by the devil, Gary?
The devil.
That's right. He's the prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit of lawlessness. The Antichrist is the spirit of lawlessness. So we walked according to the course of this world system, according to the prince of the power of the air. The same spirit, I added same, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So this is the spirit of the world. This is Satan. This is the demonic realm that's influencing those who are disobedient. Now, let me ask you this, Gary. Can a Christian be disobedient?
Yes.
Of course. I like what Brother Hagin said. He said a Christian is a free moral agent, and if they want a demon, they can have one if they want. In other words, you can have whatever you want, even after you're saved, even after you're born again and filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues. You can change your mind and still have what you want. Now, once this life is over, there's no mind changing anymore. Now you're either on the Lord's side or you're not on the Lord's side. Now, I know I'm kind of a little bit all over the place, but during the millennial reign of Christ, and we're right on the cusp of it, the people that repopulate the earth will be from the nations. Matthew chapter 25 is the judgment of the sheep and the goat nations, and the sheep nations will repopulate the earth. They never received the mark of the beast, and they never received Jesus as their Lord, so they weren't born again. And they will be the ones that will come into the millennial reign of Christ, and they will repopulate the earth for 1,000 years. Now, they can make a choice during that time to follow God, or they can and get born again. Romans 8, 1, the law of the spirit of life in Christ, or they can choose to rebel against God. It's up to them. And they have that choice during that 1,000 years. But then after that, now there is an eternal decision that they have made. Remember, Gary, that Satan is going to be loosed out of his pit at the end of the 1,000 years to go out and deceive the nations. And the nations will then have to make a choice to either recognize this deception and to reject Satan's offer and possibly die, or choose God's side and stay on God's side. And then they will receive eternal life if they stay on God's side. But there's going to be a large rebellion of nations that are going to rise up against God, and they're going to attack the holy city, the New Jerusalem, and try to defeat God. It's hard to believe. But that's the craziness of Satan's lies and deception and the flesh. And we all got it. And so someone chooses to turn away from God, to be disobedient as a Christian, then that corruption begins to grow in your soul, grows inside you. It can even grow into your spirit. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. So how do we grow in hearing from God, Gary? How do we increase our hearing?
With
don't get deep now. Think
conversation and prayer.
Conversation. That's right. Spend more time fellowshipping with God. Spend more time talking to God. The more you talk to God, the more he talks to you. James tells us this: draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Now, really, do you know who he's talking to in those verses, Gary?
I don't.
You can take a guess if you want.
Right.
Is he talking to, he's talking to Christians for sure, but is he talking to believers?
Non-believers.
Who are believing believers or sinners? Yeah, now see, when you say non-believers, the first thing people think of is someone who has never made Jesus the Lord of their life.
Yeah.
But can you make Jesus the Lord of your life and become a non-believer?
Yes.
See, even though you're born again, even though your spirit is born again, you can come to a place where you are following after the wrong spirit. Instead of yielding your members to righteousness, you can yield your members to unrighteousness. And when you yield your members to unrighteousness, you're now a child of disobedience. And that's why he said, wherein in times past, Ephesians 2:2, you walked according to the course of this world. It hasn't changed. The same demon spirits that work for Satan are still out deceiving people and trying to get people to follow after the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air. Air. Now, you've been a radio producer for a long time. When you think of airwaves, what do you think of?
The signal of radio.
Signal? What's another word? There's one other word I like. Frequencies.
Yeah, frequency, sure.
Yeah. You know, do you remember those dog whistles, Gary, that people would have? Those like long silver ones?
Yeah, yeah.
And you would blow them? Can people hear those?
No.
Why?
Because the frequency is too high for
because
our
the frequency is too high. But the dog can hear it.
Yeah.
So the prince of the power of the air knows the frequency in order to get thoughts into your head.
That's scary.
That's deep, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you know that every thought is not from you?
Yes.
So when you have demonic thoughts, what's the example of a demonic thought?
Well, hateful, hating someone or lust.
That wouldn't have been my first thought. Yeah, I would have thought of lust first. But hate, lust, all these things. And we find these, write this down, saints, if you're taking notes. Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth or desires against the spirit, and it should be lowercase s, not capital. It's talking about your spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, when these thoughts come of the flesh, you got to make a choice. I'm not going to do these things. Verse 18, if you're led of the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, here are the temptations that Satan brings as the prince of the power of the air, beginning with verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. That is, if you're a married person and you have sex with another person other than your spouse. Fornication. You're a single person and you have sex with somebody that you're not married to. Uncleanness. Uncleanness is again talking about morally unclean. It's talking about lustful impurities. I guess you could say things that are wasteful. Impure motives is all part of uncleanness. Lasciviousness, again, mostly it's referring to sexual depravity. Filth, wantonness is another word. Idolatry. Idolatry is putting anything before God, putting something first. Do you know that golf could become an idol in somebody's life, Gary?
Sure.
I mean, anything could become an idol if you put anything before God. Witchcraft is actually referring to, it's the Greek word pharmakia, which is talking about mind-altering drugs. It's also translated as sorcery. Hatred. That's what you mentioned, Gary. Hatred. What does hatred lead to? It's actually one of the words we're going to see here in a second. Oh, I was supposed to put this up on my screen. What does hatred lead to? Do you know? Do you ever hear, this has happened many times, but the man that is charged with second degree murder against his wife and says, I loved her so much I had to kill her.
Yeah.
He wouldn't allow her to be with anybody else.
Yeah.
Is that love?
No.
What is that?
Jealousy.
Hatred. And what did it lead to?
Murder.
Murder. Because he's saying, if I can't be with you, you're not going to be with anybody. That's hatred. You may think you love that person. That ain't love. That's hate. It's the opposite. It's love perverted. And it's selfishness. And I think you said jealousy. I mean, that would be in there too. But these are all of the flesh. And Satan operates by putting thoughts in people's heads to get them to follow after the flesh, to become a child of disobedience, so that they go away from God, not toward God. See, the promises of God do not happen automatically. There is a requirement on the side of a believer to do what? Don't get deep now. What's a believer supposed to do, Gare?
Believe and read in the
That's
word
it.
Of God.
Believe. Yeah, believe. Believe. Yeah. You don't even have to get any deeper than that. A believer's job is to believe. So, you know, in the years now I've been a pastor and talking to people, and, you know, sometimes I'll get a wife, sometimes a husband, but, you know, a wife that'll come up and talk about issues that she's having in her marriage. And my first question is he saved? And, you know, let's say she says yes. My next question is he coming to church? Because what I'm trying to facilitate, figure out is he was a believer, but is he a believing believer? Because if he's not a believing believer, then what is he, Gare? What's the opposite of believing?
He's not a believer, then.
He's an unbeliever.
Yeah.
What's an unbeliever? An unbeliever is someone that knows the word but doesn't do the word.
Yes.
And James says that they deceive their own selves. The word unbeliever is the Greek word apistos. It means without faith, without confidence, without assurance in God. And if you really had confidence and assurance in God, if you were persuaded that his word was true, then you're going to do it. You're going to at least be fighting to a certain degree to do the word. But what happens over time is that we become lackadaisical. You know, one thing that's common with all of our flesh, Gary, is that we are at a very natural level. We're all lazy.
Yeah. Yes.
And so, you know, we might not be lazy in certain areas. We might be very diligent in certain areas, but there's a tendency to become lazy, and we all have to fight it. And obedience, being a believer, requires obedience. Now, obedience doesn't. Obedience is doing what the word is that's been placed in your heart. So ultimately, obedience is required, but obedience doesn't save you. Obedience is simply receiving the promise that God has given. And this is very, very important to understand, because there's a lot of false teaching out there, and it's actually called antinomianism or false grace. And then this false grace is stating, for example, that all of salvation is on God, and I don't need to do anything. There's even other teaching, an old doctrine called Calvinism. And Calvinism has multiple different heresies within it. One of them is that predestination means that you have been predestinated to sonship, or you haven't. And if you're not predestinated to sonship, you can never be saved. But if you are predestinated, then you are saved and you will always, always be saved because it's God's choice. Now, there is some truth in there, but the error turns the truth that is in that statement to error. So in other words, God's will, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we just started reading it earlier. We read verse 1, but verse 4 says, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Is God's will for all men to be saved, Gary?
Yes.
100%. We see another one in 2 Peter, where he says, God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants every single person to be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him. But whether or not someone is saved is not up to God. God has already done everything that he's going to do. Imagine, Gary, if I know it's your birthday and I say, Gary, I bought you a gift. Here it is. Is that gift going to open itself?
No.
If it's a shirt, is that shirt going to put itself on you?
No.
What do you got to do?
Have to open it and put it on.
You got to open it, baby. You got to receive that thing. If you don't receive it, then you're not going to get it, even though it's my will for you to have it. I bought it for you.
Yes.
And if somebody brings you this gift, if I bring you this gift, do you have to beg and plead for it?
No.
Do you have to wait 3 days?
No.
Do you have to pray for 4 hours?
No.
What do you got to do?
Just open it.
Open it. Just take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. And that's what God's will is, that you take it. But you have a choice. And that's the thing that people sometimes fight against. And this erroneous teaching on false grace, on which is antinomianism, is a lie from the enemy that puts people in bondage because they think, I believed on Jesus. And now that I believed on Jesus, I'm saved and I don't have to do anything else. No, no, and no. That is absolutely not true. What do you have to do if you're a believer?
You have to have a relationship with God.
Okay, but don't get deep now. If you're a believer, what do you need to do?
Pray and talk.
No, if you're a believer, what do you need to do?
Oh, believe.
Believe. It ain't that deep. Just believe. Now, if you're believing, let's go back to some of the other things you just said. How do you believe? Well, believing, faith, comes by hearing. So in order for me to hear from God, what do I need to do?
You have to listen, first of all.
And you got to listen. And in order to listen, you got to spend time with him.
Yes.
And this is what our flesh so often fights against. But it is so critically important that we take the time, make the time to spend with God in prayer. And when we spend time with God in prayer, then we are going to hear from him. And when we hear him, that speaking that he is doing, that illumination, that aha moments, that quickening in our spirit, that is the word of God. And that word, that rhema, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word from God. That word that we're hearing. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 when he was being tempted of the devil? And the devil said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus said, it is written.
It is written that
man shall not live
by bread alone, but by
that's
the
right.
word of
that's
God.
Right. So notice he was quoting what was written. But he was quoting what was written from what he heard. Who did he hear it from? Who was with him?
The Father.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the right answer. I was going to say the Holy Spirit, but it was the Father. You're 100% right. And Jesus said, I only do what the Father shows me. I'm sure somebody's typing in there right now. You go, Gary. You go, boy.
Please, I'm trying to absorb like a sponge, but I'm also doing 9 different things at once to keep the show up on the air.
But you're such a man of humility. You let me give it to you. Praise God. Amen. So we need to make sure as believers that we are believing believers. And in order to be a believing believer, we need to spend time with the one who gives us the word. And when he gives us the word, that word produces faith. And the more we're spending time with him, the more we're receiving faith so that we can fulfill the purpose that God has for our life. Because God's plan is not going to happen automatically. And if you say, well, I'm too busy to pray, then guess what my answer is, Gary?
You're not a believer if you're too busy.
Yeah, you're just too busy.
Yeah.
Your priorities are jacked up. You're going to have to change your priorities. You're going to have to get up earlier. You're going to have to discipline your flesh. Your flesh wants to sleep, but your spirit wants to pray. And you need to spend time in prayer. Now, I want to finish with this because I want to get to your questions. Acts 2:4, you can still email me, by the way, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Make sure you check out our website, which is spiritoffaithradio.com. Also, if you want to go to Israel with us, we're going in March of 24. Go to wordoffaith.cc/Israel. Praise God. It's going to be an amazing trip. I'm so excited. Praise God. This will be my third attempt to go since COVID. But Lord willing, we'll be going. Praise God. Amen. One day at a time. What was I just saying?
You were talking
about... Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, you were talking about the trip, and prior to that, spending time in prayer.
Yeah, and that's the deal. We need to spend time with God because that's how we're going to fulfill God's purpose. It doesn't happen automatically. We got to spend time with him. Praise God. All right, let's get to your emails tonight. I got a few of them here. You can still email me in studio101@gmail.com. This email is the subject, The Real T-Shirt by Darlene. Darlene says, Pastor, I've noticed that everyone who is for abortion has already been born. Ronald Reagan said that. That's deep. You got to like that one, Gare.
That's true, and I remember him saying that.
I've noticed that everyone who is for abortion has already been born.
Well, Nancy and I don't believe in abortions.
That's right. I mean, who's going to speak for the unborn? Because those that are born that had the opportunity to be born are trying to steal that opportunity from the unborn. The devil's such a liar. Amen. Let's just take a minute and pray for people in this situation right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, together in this radio audience, over 11,000 people, Lord, we just join our faith together right now. You said, if two of us agree on earth about anything is touching, we ask it shall be done. We agree right now for you to speak to these women who are pregnant. And especially the teenage women, Lord, that they will choose life and that they will allow that baby that's growing in their belly to be born. We ask you right now to speak to them. We bind the spirit of murder and the spirit of abortion, and we pray for life, Father, that these children will live, that there'll be an epidemic of births in this next year because women are choosing to allow that baby to be born. And we thank you for it, Lord. We believe we receive it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Another email. Thank you. I call you blessed tonight, Darlene. Thank you for sharing that with us. This email is from Cody. Cody says, hi to Pastor John. Moses. So, technically, Moses was the first man to download files from the cloud using a tablet. You sure it wasn't an iPad? No, I guess it was a tablet. And it's a picture of who played Moses in the Ten Commandments.
Oh, yeah. I forget his name.
I know Pharaoh was Yul Brynner.
Yeah.
Oh, he was the head of the NRA.
Yeah. I got it right on the tip of my tongue.
I know.
Oh, now, of course, I have to Google.
Somebody's probably typing it in.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
Charles
Heston.
Yeah,
Charlton
right.
Heston.
That's correct.
That was my wife. She's always on the ball. This woman needs to go on a trivia show. She would make us a fortune. My wife is so smart.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And I'm not exaggerating. I'm really not. She is one smart cookie. She's real smart because she chose me.
Right.
Here's another email that I shout out blessings to this person. Cody, call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Catherine. Catherine says, Pastor John, woman, if a man wants to pretend he's a woman, that's up to him. But if he wants us to pretend he's a woman, that's up to us. That's good. And I agree with it. You know, let's call a spade these days. And just this craziness. I was watching this interview the other day with this woman who is a swimmer, and she's fighting for women's rights because a woman in sports has the right to compete with women. But now that these men are there was another one in volleyball, Gary. Did you hear about that?
Yeah,
these volleyball.
Yeah.
And this one man who's saying that he's a woman, transgender, he spiked a ball and broke the girl's nose.
Oh, I know. It's just terrible.
It's terrible. Yeah. And they just have zero shame. They have just they're just audacious in a completely perverted way. And, you know, if you pull their pants down, you find out real quick that they're a man. And yeah. Yet they're competing with a woman. What is going on? It's absolute crazy. This world has gone totally bonkers without question.
Yeah.
And it just gets worse every day. And it's going to keep getting worse because the spirit of lawlessness is at work. Do you know what another term is for the spirit of lawlessness, Gary?
Satan.
I said it earlier. No, there's another one, technically. It's the spirit of Antichrist.
Okay.
The spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of lawlessness.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And we're seeing lawlessness everywhere. All these prosecutors that are funded by George Soros that are just letting people go. I just saw a statistic about the prosecutor in New York. He has downgraded 52% of felonies to misdemeanors.
Yeah, so they don't have to go to jail.
But he's taken Donald Trump's misdemeanor, which technically isn't even a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
It's there's no victim here. It's they're taking a bookkeeping error and turning it into 32 felonies or something ridiculous. Yeah. It's just the world has gone crazy. It's lawlessness at work. I call you blessed tonight, Catherine, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Gail. Gail says, my God-given right. It is your God-given right to defend your God-given life. And it's a picture of a husband holding a Glock with his wife and baby behind him. And he's protecting his wife and baby with a gun. I agree 100%. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, if you don't have a weapon to defend yourself, he said, sell your coat and buy one. That's in Luke 22. Let me find it real quick.
Well, not up here in Canada.
Yeah, I always had guns up there. Just no, but you can have a handgun if you belong to a club, but not for self-defense. But I always had a shotgun. Praise the Lord. Let's see. Boom, 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 boom. Cloak. Do. Luke 22:36, and he said unto them, but now he that has a purse, or in other words, a wallet, let him take it. And likewise, that translation is all jacked up. Let me go to the King James. Stand by. Boom, 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 boom. Luke 22:36. Then he said, but now he that has a purse, let him take it. Likewise, his scrip, and he that has no sword, let him sell his garment, his coat, and buy one. For I say unto you that it is written, must yet be accomplished in me, but he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And they said unto them, that's enough. So in other words, your main weapon and a backup weapon, right, Gare?
That's correct.
Hallelujah. Amen. Call you blessed, Gail, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Brian. Brian says, Spirit of Faith, Adam and Eve. The oldest computer was owned by Adam and Eve. It was an Apple with a very limited memory. Just one byte, B-Y-T-E, and everything crashed. Amen. That's cute. Call you blessed tonight, Brian, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Sherry. Sherry says, hello, Pastor. The way, Gerald, true friend's gentle whisper. It's a man with a hand holding a another man. And it says, God is saying to you today, I think the hand is supposed to be God's hand holding this man. God is saying to you today, don't worry, I've already made a way for you. Amen. And Jesus is the way that God has made. Hallelujah. Call you blessed tonight, Sherry, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Andrew. Andrew says, hi, Pastor. A sign for Pastor John's new phone. No trespassing. I own firearms and a backhoe. Praise the Lord. Amen. Call you blessed tonight. A backhoe. Now I get it to do the burying. Well, I'll call the police and let the police sort it out. Praise God. Call you blessed, Andrew, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Olivia. Olivia says, Pastor, remember this. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. I've been talking about that all night, Olivia. Thanks for sharing that. What a blessing. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Last email of the night is from our friend Ken. Ken says, hi, Pastor. Who else? Of course, I talk to God. Who else can I trust? I love it. Thank you for sharing that. Praise God. What a privilege to be with you all tonight. You can email us anytime in studio101@gmail.com. Gary will forward it on. Or you can always go to our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. Our email is also there. And we'd love to hear from you. Until next week. I want to remind you that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.